You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 167. I was inspired in my selection of things to give to you today by a visit to the movies at the weekend. We went to see the Pixar movie Inside Out, which, without spoiling any storylines whatsoever, if you haven't seen it, it's probably one of the best Pixar movies I've actually seen. In fact, the showing we went to, which was in the middle of the afternoon and we expected to be full of families and children, way more than half the audience was adults. The movie's probably rather more pitched to adults than young children. Anyway, it's about, in two sentences, it's about a girl called Riley, who is about 10 or 11, I think. And the movie's about how her emotions tend to run her life and which emotions she tends to try to keep to the forefront of her existence, like joy and excitement, and which kind of emotions she tries to sort of suppress and repress. And along the way, we also get a good look in at the emotions of her mum and her dad and all the other adults. And it's very, very funny, and it's very, very spot on. And also, as part of the story, we actually visit in fun kind of ways the workings of the brain and the workings of dreams. You see, there's a part in the movie where we see a dream happening and how it happens from a kind of Pixar point of view. And as we sat there watching that, I was thinking, you know, this is extremely familiar to me because it's just coincidence. It's the way things are. But when I wrote my book Dream Alchemy in 2003, I wrote a piece called The Dream Oscars, which I'm going to read to you in a minute, which is all about how, you know, the dream director deep inside you gets the film crew ready and starts to screen the dreams that you're going to experience that night. And the Pixar movie Inside Out does a similar kind of thing. So I'm sitting there watching the movie going, this is a really great movie. Did they read Dream Alchemy? This is a great, great movie. Did they read the excerpt from Dream Alchemy on the Dream Oscars, which I put on the internet in 2011? Well, I'd like to think that they did. They probably didn't, but it inspired today's podcast show. So very shortly, I'm going to go back and revisit the Dream Oscars. Then I'm going to really ground us after that and read you a piece that's actually been on my website for a very long time, but it's about dreams, and you may have read it. If you've read it before, it doesn't matter. It's always good to hear things that you've only read because they can come across quite differently. They can deliver a different message. They can help you to see and understand things differently. So I'm going to really ground you with that one and go, okay, this is about dreams. And then the last thing we're going to do is quite different again, is revisit our emotions, not revisit, do for the first time, our emotions, and particularly our unconscious emotions and how these play out in our dreams and inform us. Before we begin all of that, the website, because it is only one website now, we have everything under one roof, and it's janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Go there, find everything you need, and hopefully a lot more as well. The Dream Oscars. Now, I did pre-read this before reading it out for you, and I have to say in advance that there's a little sentence that describes getting on the internet in it. So do remember that this was originally published in my book, which first came out in 2003. That book, Dream Alchemy, is still around. You can still get it. It's been reprinted. That's great. But it was originally came out in 2003, which meant that I originally wrote what I'm about to read you in 2002. And hey, that's how the internet worked in those days. I also wrote this, as I say, as a blog in, I reproduced it as a blog in May 2011, The Dream Oscars. In a good night's sleep, you have about five big dreams, usually all concerning the same question. Each one contains a philosopher's stone, an insight previously unknown to you that you can use to transform your waking life from base metal into gold. What treasure, what potential. Each night as you fall asleep, you teeter on the verge of bringing home the gold. After 90 minutes of deep sleep, the first dream is, well, let's say the first dream is screened. The first dream of the night is usually the most vivid and surreal. Imagine the excitement down in the basement of your deep unconscious. Maybe tonight's the night. Picture this. Your dream director paces in the dark. Maybe tonight's the night. Maybe tonight's the night to bring home the gold. Maybe tonight we'll screen the dream of a lifetime. Maybe tonight she'll finally get the message. Maybe tonight we can pull out all our best stops. Maybe tonight it's Dream Oscars all round. What's the theme for the night? The theme, echoes a rumbling voice from the script development department in the depths of the dark unconscious. We thought we might have another look at the self-esteem question tonight. We laid some good foundations with the power issue last night, so we're ready to take a fresh look at self-esteem. Ah, big one, replies the dream director, one eye on the clock. We're 10 minutes down and the clock's ticking. 80 minutes and we need the first dream up and ready to go. Order up the early life memories, please. Run a combined search on power and self-esteem. The familiar staccato splutter of modems firing up to download the memory neurons of the brain mingles with the smell of start-of-shift coffee. The dream director taps her microphone. Metaphors department, you in yet? In and rolling. We've got a good round table blitz group in today. Should come up with some crackers tonight. I hear the puns and wordplay department has a top class crossword puzzle expert on the job tonight. We might be up for the Dream Oscars with tonight's screenings. The dream director drums her fingers on her desk. 75 minutes and counting. Casting department, you on board? We need a big cast for tonight, the best you can. We're going for the Dream Oscars. Theme is self-esteem and power. I want people from waking life, people from the past, and a couple of characters from fiction. Stick to theme, but think extremes. Even go as far as caricatures. Oh, and we'll need two extras. Makeup is standing by to archetype cast the extras. At 90 minutes exactly, the first dream is screened and recorded for posterity in the Unconscious Memory Archives Department. At the same time, a copy is sent, as always, to the Conscious Recall database, but with no expectation of success, as the IT technicians are still chasing the dream deletion virus that entered the system at the same moment in history as the Industrial Revolution. After the screening, brief congratulations are exchanged, and then all heads are down to create the second dream. This time, conditions are tighter. The deep sleep interval between dreams decreases as the night goes on and the dreaming periods get longer. With less time for creativity and production and longer stories to shoot, it's no surprise that dreams closer to morning tend to be a little more mundane. By morning, the film crew are partying and retiring to doze at the Back Burner Inn for the day. You stir, fleetingly in contact with Conscious Recall database, battling the dream deletion virus to archive the data over to the permanent conscious memory store. Somewhere between dreaming and getting out of bed, a partial victory is declared. A dream or two are remembered, and the still vigilant dream director wonders, before hitting the sack, if her movies have worked their magic. And then just getting you very grounded with the second one, all about dreams, before continuing to the last one, which is more about our unconscious emotions, still on the theme of the movie Inside Out. One of the things that I wrote about in that kind of slightly tongue-in-cheek Dream Oscars there was the idea that we have our first dream after 90 minutes, which is, of course, the rapid eye movement, the REM phase of sleep. And it's now known, it was even known when I wrote that, and I go on in Dream Alchemy to talk about that, but actually we do dream outside of those periods as well. But it kind of made it pretty neat to get the general idea across of dreaming in the Dream Director Dream Oscars kind of storytelling mode. So let's get serious, but I hope still entertaining and informative, about dreams. When you sleep, your brain and mind process your waking life experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours. One function is to store some of your experiences into memory. Another is to build your unique belief system, otherwise known as your mindset, based on your experiences to help you negotiate life. To do this, your brain compares your recent experience with all your past similar experiences. Sometimes recent experience agrees with a past experience and your brain logs a confirmation, a strengthening of your beliefs about this issue. Sometimes your recent experience is so different from the past experiences that decisions need to be made. The recent experience may be discarded because we tend to hold on to our oldest beliefs, or the older experiences may be discarded in favour of the new truth that you have perceived. Alternatively, the old and new may coexist in conflict for a while, or they may interact creatively, producing a new insight born during sleep. And you experience all of this processing as dreams. Imagine this processing and filing as being like updating a computer hard drive or sorting out an old-fashioned office filing system. You witness files from your past being opened and flicked through while your brain and mind are comparing notes, looking for older memories, older beliefs, buried feelings, word associations, emotional associations, dates, anything and everything. You see bits of the last 24 to 48 hours, maybe someone you met, a project that's on your mind, a character from a TV show, mixed up with bits from your past and all sorts of bizarre odds and ends that you don't instantly understand. They're associations you have consciously forgotten, but your unconscious mind has retained. This is why so many dreams have references to the past as well as the present. Your brain and mind are not totally focused on the past and memories, though. The point of all this processing is to help you to survive and thrive, to build your own belief system, to negotiate your way through life and remain safe. The processing is about finding ways to deal with challenges and changes in your life, solving problems, coming up with creative solutions, learning from your experiences, and projecting ahead to work out ways of approaching the future. When you dream, you are witness to all this processing, comparing, sorting, discarding, and creating. You are witness to how your mind works. You witness the building and demolition of your belief system. The problem for many people is that the heavy focus on training the mechanist left brain, much of our schooling, makes it difficult to engage the more visionary, holistic right brain approach needed to make sense of our dream experiences. With training, it becomes easier to look for associations, word plays, the feelings behind personal symbols and all the other keys that reveal the big picture beliefs painted by our dreams. The question, though, is this. If your brain and mind are performing these necessary good works in the name of your survival, health and wisdom, what is the point of analysing your dreams? Should you just let it all happen and wake up each morning content in the knowledge that your hard drive is sorted, your brain is clean and tidy, and you know how to avoid being eaten by a tiger? What? And miss a brilliant opportunity to change the way your mind works? Why do we all have differing views of the world, differing belief systems? Many of our fundamental beliefs are established early in life or as a result of later traumatic experiences. Our minds usually favour the old beliefs. We built these old beliefs to keep us safe. Beliefs such as, do what daddy says, so you'll be fed. Or, don't get your hopes up, so you won't feel disappointed. Or, agree with your friends, so they'll include you, and so on. As adults, many of these beliefs are not good for us, but our unconscious mind tends to hang on to them in a false bid for safety. Unfortunately, we are driven by our unconscious beliefs, including those that were established to keep us safe from the extremely unlikely repeat of past trauma. Knowledge of these unconscious beliefs, and especially those that are in conflict with each other, puts you in a powerful position because they can be changed. When you understand your dreams, you understand yourself. And when you understand yourself, you understand your world. You can then look at your world and decide what needs to be changed. For example, if your dreams indicate that you have an unconscious belief that it's safest to agree with your friends because they'll make you feel included, you'll understand why you feel so anxious about putting yourself in any position where you are required to be different, to risk what your unconscious mind perceives as the dangers of being excluded. As an adult, you may have been working to make a difference to the world and wondering why your efforts have been misfiring. In this example, your dream explains why. You are then in the powerful position of being able to choose to change that unconscious belief and replace it with a more helpful one, one more appropriate to your goals as an adult and to your conscious wisdom. How is this done? My approach to working with dreams is to follow dream analysis with exercises I call dream alchemy practices. These exercises cover a wide spectrum including visualization, affirmations, but very far from conventional affirmations, dialogues, writing, artwork, bodywork, and more. And what all these exercises have in common is working with personal dream symbols. This is why. You experience your dreams as symbols, puns, feelings, allegories, and other right brain perceived modes. This is the language through which you view your otherwise unconscious belief systems. Dream alchemy practices enable you to engage with your unconscious mind using the same language. And in this way, to change old inappropriate beliefs into new supportive ones by reprogramming or rewiring your neural pathways. My approach to analysing dreams and to working with them to effect personal change has been evolving since 1991. Originally based on my wide reading, I moved on to research dreams with the help of several hundred people via surveys and dream experiments, and then progressed to work individually with thousands of clients over the years, always learning, testing, learning again, and refining. I have constantly worked with my own dreams and pioneered much of the dream alchemy practice work on myself before moving it into the public arena and private clients in 2001. My scientific mind is, no doubt, evident in my approach to dreams, but I cannot finish this summary without reference to telepathy, precognition, mystery, and spirituality. In common with many other people, I noticed that many of my dreams overlap with those of my partner. It is normal for us to compare notes and find we have shared similar dream experiences, often quite specifically, for example, same dialogue, during the same sleeping period. The dreaming mind incorporates material beyond the senses science generally acknowledges. The same applies to precognitive dreaming, that's dreaming accurately of the future. I, along with many people, have often experienced precognitive dreams. This is a very frightening concept for many people, and one I prefer not to highlight simply because, until people understand dream analysis, too many fear their dreams are literal. For example, it's extremely common for parents to dream of one of their children dying, usually by drowning. This dream is symbolic. People rarely mention it because they're frightened that mentioning it will make it happen. My estimate, having talked to people, is that as many as 1 in 3 parents have had this dream. I look at all dreams from a symbolic point of view, as this is most meaningful in the quest for self-understanding. However, I researched precognitive dreaming for 3 years, including subjecting myself to some extremely challenging experiments, and then wrote a book about it. The Shape of Things to Come was published by Random House in 1998. It's available both in both paperback and ebook through my website at janetreza.com. I am often asked for my views on spirituality and God. These subjects are also included in most of my books. For me, personally, life is a spiritual quest, an ongoing path of self-knowledge, a living with awareness and meaning. For me, the guiding light is the ultimate truth and wisdom we all seek as we negotiate the personal illusions we call reality. Dreams help me to see those illusions and, in so doing, guide me closer to the truth. So now, let's change to a completely different style. And this is a blog I wrote just a few months ago in April 2015 called Bodywork and Dreams. So I picked this one coming from the angle of, we've just talked about how our dreams reflect the last 1 to 2 days of our conscious and unconscious experiences. And I picked this one because it really is about how our dreams can process our deeply unconscious experiences that we really are not aware of. And you'll understand, you'll see how that comes up in this article. So Bodywork and Dreams. When was the last time you had a good, deep foot, neck, shoulder, or back massage? If you closed your eyes and surrendered to the process, what feelings came up for you? Were you able to name those feelings? Relief? Grief? Foreboding? Panic? Bliss? Vulnerability? Or did you notice tears flowing but find yourself unable to say why? When painful knots were found and massaged, did you see any images, symbols, or experience dreamlike visions? What did you dream that night or the next? Our muscles and other tissues can hold our painful emotions and associated memories in an often unconscious attempt at protecting ourselves from being hurt in the same way again. Imagine gripping the ground with your toes in an effort to stand your ground, to not budge, to stay put for fear of letting go because of a painful letting go experience in your past. Or because you learned this fear from your parents or guardians or the culture into which you were born. Imagine those toes never really relaxing, never really letting go, even when you're sitting down or sleeping, partly because you're on alert whatever else is happening, and partly because your muscles have forgotten how to stretch, or have stiffened and become limited in their range of movement. Now, what happens when that massage therapist stretches out those muscles for you, cajoling them to release their hold? Perhaps you feel the fear or panic of letting go. Perhaps you feel the accumulated pain of holding on, of standing your ground, of victories won or opportunities lost. Perhaps you feel the vulnerability that you've kept under lock and key of muscular tension so long that you can't even name the strange feeling. Perhaps you feel foreboding, sure knowledge of forthcoming danger. Or perhaps you feel relief discovering that when you are made to let go, you find yourself safe. Or you find yourself as excited as you were as a one-year-old when you took your first steps into a whole new and wonderful way of being. Sometimes the massage is enough to move you forward, to release you into the discovery that it is safe to move beyond your previous limitations, that there is relief in letting go, in change. Sometimes the massage is enough for now, but you return to the status quo, to your comfort zone, to gripped toes and holding your ground, to fear of change, because the unconscious beliefs you hold remain the same, and the unconscious painful emotions and memories those beliefs are built to protect you from remain in need of healing. This is where dreams enter the picture. Dreams are the result of your mind processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 1 to 2 days, comparing these recent experiences to your entire past, either consolidating your beliefs, consolidating your mindset as a result, or changing them. When we experience highly charged emotions, our dreams can be extremely vivid, and their content extremely revealing and potentially healing. So your dreams following the foot massage, in this toe-gripping, ground-gripping example, might find you comparing the released emotions you felt during your massage with similar situations in your life now, in your life past, and even as far back as the original experience that created the unconscious belief that has had your toes grippingly limiting you ever since. Once analysed, for the dreams will be surreal and symbolic and need analysing, such dreams can help you to understand why, in this example, you tend to grip, to stand your ground, to resist moving forward physically and emotionally in wonderful life-enhancing ways. Once you are aware of your pattern and you understand its genesis, you are on the road to healing. You may choose various healing modalities, but with the blessing of a dream to work with, dream alchemy would be a good choice, working deeply and directly with your unconscious mind. Toe gripping is just an example. Foot massage may release all kinds of protected emotions and memories, as may massage of any part of the body. A person who is rather ungrounded, who lives in the head, who has lots of ideas but can't make them happen, may find that a deep foot massage brings them back in touch with the emotions and memories they have been trying to flee. Their dreams may help them to understand their disconnection and ready them for healing, grounding, feeling safe to put down roots, to manifest and grow. Other forms of bodywork apart from massage can feed your dreams in a similar way, by actively or passively encouraging your body to move beyond the limitations that it has habitually adopted in the name of protection from painful emotions, or as a result of unconscious limiting beliefs acquired from parents, guardians, or society. Keep your dream journal handy following a massage or bodywork session, and go to bed with the intention to recall your dreams, to deepen your insight and open the way for healing and long-lasting positive change. And that's that. All sprung from an enjoyable trip to the movies on the weekend to see a Pixar movie, Inside Out, which I really do urge you to go and see. It's a lot of fun. And that's the end of episode 167. I hope you enjoyed it. And the next episode, episode 168, will be coming out on the 21st of August 2015. As always, you could be listening to this at any time in any year. And if you want to go back and listen to all the other 166 episodes, you can find those at my website at janetheresa.com. Just click the Dream Show and there you go. 160-odd hours of listening at your leisure for your pleasure and for your understanding about dreams, dream analysis, dream alchemy, and hopefully just inspiring you in general. You'll find that more than half of our shows also feature having a guest on the show, having a dream interpreted. And it's, yeah, so lots and lots to listen, lots and lots to enjoy. JaneTeresa.com. Have a lovely month. And I'll speak to those of you who I speak to regularly through Skype about your dreams between now and then. And the rest of you, have a beautiful month. And I'll see you next time for episode 168. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.